at home, it's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The finished conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
And he can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 60 of Three in the Box, your win-streaking Minnesota Wild hockey podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, February 8th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about doobies, cookies, and cups. In the studio with me is
you said
Kenny.
Cups. Yo, what up?
Hey, and Jive.
Hey, hey.
Hey. I think we're all recovering from last night's great win for the Wild and a little bit of a celebration.
Some shenanigans.
Let's go streaking!
Okay.
Well, it is.
Wind streaking.
It is nice outside.
Yeah.
Wind streaking.
Wind streaking.
Wind streaking. Gotcha.
Everybody completely recovered? Because I know I'm not.
No. I don't think I was in as quite as rough a shape as some other folks last night, but
your floor is not that comfortable.
Yeah, it was this weekend Kenny and my's our annual birthday hootenanny, and we'll set up the projector outside, watch a Wild game on a big 8-foot screen, and had a fire going. Stay warm and looking like a bunch of hobos.
Smelling like a bunch of hobos.
Smelling like a bunch
still
of
still this morning.
and the right combination of fire, open fire, and booze, like rotten booze. Yeah. The hobo. Oh, the hobo. So, before we get too far into things here, I would just like to remind you to follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box. So let's talk some Wild hockey. So, like we've alluded to, the Wild are winning like nobody's business right now, having won 5 in a row, including a rare road sweep in Western Canada, and then back-to-back home shutouts against Chicago and Colorado. Right now they're just 5 points behind 8th-place Calgary, who has played two more games in the Wild, and they're 8 behind the Jets, who are kind of struggling right now, and the Jets have played
four more games. Yeah,
we'll be seeing them shortly,
and we'll be seeing them shortly. In our last episode, I broke down the Wild's chances to make the playoffs. You know, and I said for them to be on the cusp of being a wild card team, they need at least 92 points. If you look back the last few years, you know, it usually varies anywhere from 88 to 97.
Okay.
But looking at where the 7th and 8th place teams are now, 92 might get us right on the edge. And now that they've won 5 games in a row in regulation, that means the Wild would have to go 15, 10, and 6 to hit that 92-point mark.
What about 16, 10, and 4?
Sure, that works too. No, it doesn't, but...
Yeah, it does.
No, I think you're missing a game then.
Oh, I am missing a game.
You'd added a loss into the loss column.
Yeah, you're right. That wouldn't work, but...
But, you know, at 15, 10, and 6, that seems downright easy for a team that should be playoff bound.
I can agree with that.
So do we think the Wild can get to 92 points, and do we think 92 points will be enough to make it as an 8th seed?
I would have to say that if the Wild continue playing how they're playing right now, that should not be a problem at all to hit the 92-point mark. If they can stay healthy like they are, I mean, they're fairly healthy right now. I know we're dealing with a couple of injuries, but for the most part, we got the key players in place.
Right,
So I think if we can stay healthy like that, we can keep the pace up. So
I think so. I don't foresee... what do we have? 25, 31 games left. So essentially, they need to win 50% of the games. I don't see that being a huge problem. I think it's definitely doable. I think we are going to be crossing our fingers come the end of the season, though, going, man, I hope this team loses. Not saying exactly what team it's going to be, because, I mean, that's still kind of up in the air, but I think it's
You're saying the teams ahead of us, we're going to be counting on them to lose a few key games.
Either the teams ahead of us or the teams right behind us, I think we're going to be basically crossing our fingers going,
That's kind of the way it is every year, though. For a 7th and 8th place teams, that's what your target is, you're hoping for those teams around you to lose.
So yeah. I think that's what we're going to be sitting at.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, it's doable. I don't know, what that means. I know Hockey Reference puts the Wild's playoff chances at 40% right now. It's 9th highest percentage rate, but that makes sense because we're in 9th. But 40% is not bad. It really isn't.
That's better than some.
And better than it was, you know.
Just a
week ago. Yep. Maybe 2 weeks ago, yeah. Yep. So it's not that bad.
Yep. And I'd have to agree. And I mean, so really I think that what it comes down to, though, is staying healthy, and we're going to have to figure out kind of what's going on in the net. And I guess that'll kind of roll us right into our next topic about, you know, our recent acquisition, Dubnyk.
Dubnyk step.
Yeah. Since joining the Wild, Dubnyk has made his presence known. I mean, he's recorded 4 shutouts in his first 9 games with us.
That is a new record for quickest to 4 shutouts for a guy's new team, at least within the expansion era since we've expanded from.
So that's not even a Minnesota Wild record. That's an NHL record.
NHL record.
Very nice. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he's definitely, he may not be the best or the most long-term answer to our goaltending situation here. But as it is right now, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue with the results, even though it is a small sampling size. So, I mean, what do you guys make out of Dubnyk's performance so far since joining the Wild? Do you think it can continue? Do you think, you know,
I think if anything, it's going to add in that element of competitiveness amongst the goalies to make them all work harder at the very least. So, I mean, I think it's a good thing from that standpoint, because hopefully, I mean, it almost seems like Backstrom and Kemper are getting lazy between the pipes, and they're just like going, well, it doesn't matter because I got my job secured. Now you throw in this other goaltender in there.
A little wild card.
Right? You know, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, apparently mediocre is not good enough anymore, right. And now I got to step up my game.
Yeah.
And you know, I got to say, I think his performance has been, obviously, it's been great. There was an article that Russo had out there where, you know, Dubnyk talked about, you know, how when he was in Arizona, he was basically stuck behind Smith. Smith is their guy.
And that's going to be a tough place to be.
Right. So he's basically, you know, go to the Wild 4 years ago where Harding was. You're basically stuck behind Backstrom.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to be second fiddle. So I think getting out of that situation is giving him a chance to shine. And it's hard to really look at his time in Edmonton because Edmonton is notoriously bad.
Where goalies go to get traded.
Right. And then, you know, he was at Nashville for such a short stint last year that it's hard to put a whole lot of stock into that.
Yeah.
Considering that team was really struggling last year.
I don't know if I would say Dubnyk is the end-all, be-all to our goalie situation, but I think it is a step in the right direction. And like I said earlier, just to at least get some fresh blood in there and maybe increase the competition level.
And see, I guess I'm not really convinced that, you know, I know we don't really have this in our discussion, but, you know, at this point, you know, do we give Dubnyk a shot at maybe having a contract beyond, you know, this year?
As I'm looking at it now, I mean, I would definitely give it a shot.
Well, we this is the same story we saw last year with Briz coming in. And, you know, they let Briz go because they had too many goalies. And look what ended up happening is they shot themselves in the foot because Harding kicked himself in the foot. you know, Kemper was playing hardball and they had to, you know, almost kind of succeed to what he wanted, and then Backstrom's been playing like absolute garbage. Yeah. You know, do you think they're going to end up doing that again this year?
The thing is that outside of Dubnyk, I don't know what really options there are for free agent goalies.
A whole lot.
And because you look at any team that's got a really good goalie, they lock them down.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Right.
Well, and that's where I look at Backstrom too. I mean, his age is definitely not working for him anymore.
Right.
It's working against him.
He turns 37 in a few days. Yeah. Here.
There's nothing long term about him.
No.
I mean, it's. What do we have? 2 years left in his contract, though.
One year after this.
So. Yeah. I don't know if they can just bypass that. And
you just got to bite the bullet, you know, I think, because, you know, if you're convinced that Kemper is your goalie of the future.
Right.
I'm not, personally.
Well, I'm saying if the Wild is. Backstrom is not a reliable solution.
Right.
I mean.
They're going to need something, because obviously Harding's not coming back.
Well, speaking of which, so the Wild do, they have 4 games coming up this week.
Right.
And Mr. Yo, we know how he works. He rides that hot hand, right? Yep. You can't blame him. I mean,
No.
But I mean, with the a little bit more scheduled this week, I mean, do you guys think Dubnyk will be able to go all 4 games?
I doubt it. I mean, we got back to backs coming up Monday, Tuesday.
Yep.
A day off, a day off, and then Thursday, and a day off, and then Saturday. I mean, it is a pretty good home stint,
right?
For the majority of them, but there's still a trip to Winnipeg, and
unless Dubnyk throws a shutout on Monday,
you
got to figure Kemper's going to be starting on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't see Yo starting him all 4 of the games. I mean, honestly, I think he would. Not be smart, or you know, it wouldn't be smart from the start of them all 4 games, because I mean, you don't want to riding your hot hand is one thing, but putting that much, you know, 4 games in a week's period,
you're starting to ask for injuries and stuff.
Absolutely, you don't want to don't stress them.
The one guy who's winning, you don't want to burn him out, you know.
Exactly,
but the added problem is even let's say Dubnyk gets a great win on Monday here, and. Maybe it's not a shutout, but it's a really good win. You're going to potentially start Kemper, who in the NHL, he's got a .904 save percentage. But in his 5-game AHL rehab stint, he's an .891 in the AHL.
Ouch.
So he's not even doing good in the lower leagues.
Having a tough time there.
I'm not convinced he's going to come up and all of a sudden be lights out. His save percentage is down quite a bit from last year. Yeah. He was at .915 last year in the NHL. Backstrom, obviously, as we talked about, he's way down. He's down in .887, down from .899 last year. So I think we have to ride Dubnyk and hope that he stays hot, you know?
Yeah.
Something has to be done. I mean, I don't have faith in Kemper. Backstrom, obviously, I'm not a huge fan of either.
I mean, Backstrom, he gave us good years.
Backstrom gave us great years, but I think he's he's just beyond his prime.
Exactly.
I think he's on the later part of his career where, you know,
he's becoming like you guys.
Oh, old man.
Birthday again.
Coming from the oldest guy here.
Hey.
Too soon.
Too soon.
You know, and I honestly, I don't think, I still disagree with the signing of Kemper with what he asked for at the beginning of the season. I you know, Kemper happened to get lucky and get the Wild caught with their pants down, essentially, with Kemper breaking his foot, and then all of a sudden it's like, we need a goalie. But
the Wild would be epically screwed had they not signed him.
And if you go
back... They should have won with Briz. I'm still going back to it. I think they should have stuck with Briz.
But if you go back to the beginning of the year and remember how Kemper was playing...
He was playing great.
Yeah, and he had, like, some good confidence going on. And you want to know what? Maybe... Dubnyk, maybe he was just like, you know, landed in the right place at the right time, and the guys up in front of him, because that's, I guess, one thing that I've seen is we're getting back to that dominating ways of, you know, dominating the shots on goal. I don't think we've ever completely fallen off of that train, but I mean, we're seeing periods where the Wild are out shooting the other team, you know, 3-4 times as many shots as the other team. So sometimes that's easy to build your confidence as a goalie. Sometimes it leaves you getting cold as a goalie though too. So
right.
Who's to say? But you know, and that's the other thing is Kemper down in the AHL, you mentioned his save percentage was down there. Who does he have playing in front of him?
True. Now?
You know?
Blum.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Slim Pickens down there. You know, but back to your point about Briz, you know, Briz has played a few more games now in Anaheim, and he's at 6 games played, 3 of which was starts, so he's been in relief a few times, but an .858 save percentage, 4.405 goals against average.
Wow.
So he hasn't been...
He's not been... Yeah, you know, he's also been out most of the year, too.
True.
Well, if he would have been planning on returning and wouldn't have been on the beach, you know, right. Wild just needed had to be up front with him, so he stayed in game shape.
Yeah. But maybe, I mean, maybe he just doesn't give a damn because he's still getting paid regardless, so
that could be it, too.
How many Philly's paying him for another, what, like...
Until, like, for the next 100 years.
Like 2024 or something
his,
like that.
Yeah, great grandchildren will have be getting checks from Philadelphia.
Oh, what that,
city
man,
of, that's the city of brotherly love, right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah, and the Broad Street Bullies.
It'll be long after Bettman moves the Flyers to somewhere in South America because right. That's the proper place for hockey.
Brazil.
The Brazil Briz Gloves.
Awesome. I'm in. I'm totally flying down to South America to see that.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
So we've kind of already touched on it a little bit. Kemper's stint, though, down in Iowa is coming to an end. So I believe he will be coming back up here and rejoining the team. You guys have any thoughts on how they're going to manage this? I mean,
Backstrom's the odd man out.
So is he sitting up in the rafters watching the game in street clothes or what?
Until Fletcher bites that bullet and just releases him. I mean,
yeah.
Aaron, I mean, you said it, though. Kemper's save percentage down in Iowa has not been that good, so maybe he'll be the one up in the press box.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it might be a little bit too early to just cut ties with Backstrom.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because what happens when, you know, ditch Backstrom and then Kemper is just, he plays right. So poorly that we can send him down to the AHL without waivers. Or any clears waivers. I mean, there's a few different situations that could happen there.
Right.
But I still think, you know, Backstrom's, he's third fiddle. You know?
Yeah. And his days are probably numbered here, but, I mean.
Yeah. Well, I think his days are numbered in general. Yeah. I don't, other than maybe going to play for, you know, like the Finnish Elite or the Swedish Elite League.
Yeah.
His NHL career will be done once he's with. Once he's not,
I think once his contract is up, you won't see Backstrom anymore.
And I know you're calling out the contract that Kemper got, but it was a pretty low risk in a single year. Whereas you look at Backstrom's contract from 2 years ago, that has turned out to be an albatross of a contract.
I think that was ridiculous too. But I mean, you know, at that same time, we're also looking at the big signings with Parisian Suter, and I think they wanted to lock up some all-star players to make everything happen, and Backstrom is...
Well, you can lock him up, but you give him a no-movement clause, so we can't even send him to the AHL. You know,
which hurts.
Yeah, so we can't even really try to get rid of him. We're going to have to eat that cost any way you slice it. Whereas if we could send him through waivers, maybe get another team to bite on him, you know...
Get him out of here, clear up that space.
Right, and... We would also have an extra spot then to have healthy scratches or whatever.
I mean,
so what you're saying is Backstrom and Briz are going to be hanging out on the beach, still getting paid,
possibly.
Yeah.
Well, maybe for you know one more year, but I think Backstrom's contract not good. I think, you know, Kemper, you know, forced his hand in, and he's not what the... You're right. He started the season off great, but he's not everything that he was cracked up to be, not for what he's getting paid.
Yeah, I can agree with you that maybe his payday came a little too early. But, I mean, still, I wouldn't write him out as, you know, a future here. So, where I have to agree with you, Aaron, that Backstrom is definitely, you know, he's the third fiddle and going to be the odd man out if somebody has to go. All right. So,
speaking of people's time being limited, as far as injury update, we had a good thing since our last episode. We Granlund makes his return.
Granny's back.
He gets a goal and two assists and is returning.
Finish baby Jesus.
But the bigger thing is Matt Cook, who will miss the next 5 to 6 weeks with a sports hernia. I know Cook hasn't had the greatest year, but I'm assuming that when he has been on the ice, he's been playing a little hurt. And so that's probably hampered his ability to actually follow through. So the question is, how much are the Wild going to miss Cook's physical play?
I think, you know, the other guys need to step up. And, I mean...
We got, like, Ryan Carter. I think
Ryan Carter will be one of them.
Pretty well.
We need to see some more physical play from some of our bigger guys, too.
Yeah. And, obviously, you know, Cook is a veteran, so I think we'll probably miss some of that throughout the team. But as it is, I mean, it's a role that can be filled. Though I think that Cook does bring a little bit more, I hate to say offense to the table, but,
right.
You know.
He's not an offensive player, but he is.
But you aren't surprised if he does get a goal.
He's not one-dimensional, though. Right.
That line alone, I mean, has created more chances than I think the top line.
Yeah. And a lot of times, I mean, they're really good on the forecheck. I mean,
absolutely. And I think part of that has to do with the physical play, where they're not afraid to play the body, not just play the puck.
Right. Well, I mean. So it sounds like Kenny, you're thinking that we'll just do it in house, have the physicality step up, to help fill that spot. So you don't think that the Wild can maybe make a trade for a third line type physical player?
I don't see it happening. But who knows? Bigger things have, they've done other things that I was kind of shocked about, like especially. Towards the end of the season last year, coming up to the trade deadline, like pulling in Briz, like out of nowhere, like I didn't even realize, But it is what it is, and I think we can do it in house though.
So, yeah, and I mean, I guess if I had to say something on a trade being made, it probably actually would be somewhere along the lines of, like, you know, a third liner, but somebody maybe who's on the cusp of, being like a second line.
Well, type, I mean, offensive we ended player. Up last year, who we ended up pulling a couple of guys from Buffalo, I think.
Yeah, we got Matt Molson.
Molson. who is a fairly physical player.
Yep.
I could maybe see something like that. I'm going to retract my words a bit, but.
I mean, there's something to be said about that there and having a little bit of depth. I mean, if things continue like what's happened earlier in the season where we have a guy or two go down on one of the top lines, we're going to need something in there a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, we got the trade deadline coming up.
We do. It's quickly approaching March 2nd, so we're talking about 3 weeks approximately, but just over 3 weeks. So with that, what do you feel Wild needs to, be a playoff team? Like, what positions do they need to fill to make this happen, to get into the playoffs?
I don't know that they're going to be able to make any moves that will significantly help this team. It doesn't sound like the cap is going to be increasing much next year, so they can't. They're not really in a spot where they can add a lot of salary, I don't think.
So essentially, you're thinking just rentals at the very most.
At most.
Yeah, and I think they'll probably definitely add another goalie to the roster.
You think they will? You're saying in the offseason.
No, I was talking at the trade deadline, and I'm only trying to be sarcastic.
Okay.
I'm getting there. So,
But I believe Kenny was making that same argument pre-show that the Wild should look for a goalie.
Yeah, let's just dump Kemper and Backstrom, and we'll keep Dubes and whoever else. Pekarene, maybe?
Why don't you go ahead and turn in your resume there? See if they'll just get rid of Fletcher, and maybe you can take over. And you're,
dude, I got you're, this
you're
job. Pro-
you're promising to bring in Pekarene?
I'll get you Pekarene.
Okay.
So you'll call up the Nashville GM. Hey, we got Backstrom and...
I'll give you two for one. I'll give you Backstrom and Kemper.
A two for deal. It's two for Tuesday.
You're like, right? I'll even throw in Brodziak, but you're twisting my arm really here.
Do you want Suter back?
that might actually get it done.
That could be.
Right. I don't know if you that's a deal you'd want to make, but...
Well, you know, it'd free up some cap space.
I don't think it would, though.
Yeah, maybe not.
Rene's right bring Rene in here, no.
Rene's signed for a long time for a lot of money, so... But I honestly, I don't think the Wild make any moves. And maybe a rental, like a third-line grinder. But I don't think they're going to be real big players, personally.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was saying somebody third line, maybe cusp of the second line. Something just to have a little bit more depth. Because we've kind of proven when some people have gone down throughout the season here, I hate to blame things on injuries, but... You know, I think it's definitely had an impact. So
well, and you know, you look at who's coming in there. You got like Halla, who's kind of been in the doghouse at times during this year. Yeah. Hasn't had a very good year, I don't think. Then you have guys like Schrader who come up and look okay, but I don't think that he's really won the trust of Yo right. yet.
Yeah.
And that's who you're basically filling those last spots with. Yeah.
Well,
and Fontaine's hurt right now, so. It probably would make sense to try to find a guy who could play third line minutes and possibly have a chance to score every now and again, you know?
That's just it. I mean, I don't think our top two lines are going to be changing with any type of trade or acquisition
right.
Before March 2nd. No. It is going to be third and fourth line.
Yeah, our
for
first
sure.
two lines are solid. Our problem is if one of those guys falls out due to injury or, you know.
We get exposed pretty quickly then at that point.
Yeah, so. But, and you know, who knows? Maybe we can make a deal for Backstrom or something last minute. Are there any teams needing a old washed-up veteran for another year or so?
That's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah. Well, Anaheim apparently was. We should have sent bags from the Anaheim because they've been having nothing but bad luck with their goalies.
Yeah. So maybe there's a market.
This is the most ridiculous conversation I think we've ever had.
Backstrom for Briz?
We're hoping that someone would be willing to take Backstrom off our hands.
Hockey fans are special.
So speaking of Batman, actually.
Batman, oh. Yeah. So the NHL announced the revival of the World Cup of Hockey.
The revival.
It'll be the first since 2004, so we're talking over a decade now.
Credence Clear Ice Revival.
I was thinking more like Hockey Zombie Apocalypse.
Hockey Zombie Apocalypse.
I'll go with either. So it'll consist of eight teams, including the U.S., Canada, Russia, Sweden, Finland. You got your and the Czech Republic, so you got your big six. Then two all-star teams made up of the top 23 and under North American players, and another featuring the top NHL players from the European countries that aren't represented by their national teams, including Switzerland, Germany, Slovenia, Austria, Norway, Denmark, and Latvia. So, is this going to be the beginning of the end for NHL players in the Olympics now, since Bettman's trying to get the World Cup of Hockey going, and he wants to do it every 4 years?
It's going to be the end of hockey in the Olympics. We saw the same thing happen with baseball. They started doing the World Baseball Classic. They do that every 4 years. And I think the first couple of years of that, they're sending like AAA scrubs basically to play in the Olympics. And who's excited by that? No one's excited by that. So this is going to be the end of hockey in the Olympics. That's my prediction.
Which is too bad. I mean, and I'm not disagreeing with you with it being the end, but I, you know, that's one of my favorite things to watch in the Winter Olympics is watching the hockey. You see some of the best, cleanest hockey of some of the ultimate players. You know, it's not the All-Star Game, pardon my French, wee-wee, bullshit that you see where you get the best players that are, you know, it's not competition. It's a shooting gallery, but the Olympics, you actually get to see some of the best players actually playing to their potential.
Yeah. And I guess I would have to disagree with you a little bit there, Aaron. I don't think that it means the end to hockey in the Winter Olympics. I think that, the Summer Olympics, there's a lot of sports and lots of different different types of sports that they have to play. It's a little bit more of a limited base of sports for the Winter Olympics, though there are 150 different styles of
snowboarding,
skiing. Now there's snowboarding. There's basically 5 million different ways to get down a snowy hill, right?
Mm-hmm. One of which is not on skates.
Right. And then there's speed skating and figure skating. And what else goes well on the rink?
Hockey.
I mean, I don't think that the Winter Olympics could give that up right now.
I didn't say it's going to be a good thing, yeah. But the IOC is, they're a very spiteful group. And I think it's obvious what the NHL is trying to do. It's trying to preserve their season every 4 years.
So do you think maybe it would go back to like maybe more of where they don't allow professionals to play?
It's possible.
Maybe they do something like that.
That's about the only way it would stay relevant.
Yeah.
But even then, I mean, I guess it depends on your view. A lot of people really enjoy seeing the true best athletes in the world.
Right.
And by limiting it just to you amateurs or...
You're eliminating the best ones in the world.
Right.
Well, you know, is this Bettman kind of giving a big F you to the...
IHF?
IHF. Saying, you know what, we're just going to create our own. We're going to do our own thing. You guys can go piss off. We don't need the Olympics. We don't need, you governing us. They're going to be playing on an NHL size rink, not at a Olympic size or international size rink. So it's going to be the smaller, narrower size. But yeah, is it Bettman just basically going F you?
Well, I think to a degree, maybe not the IHF. I think it's more just a matter of the owners don't like the season being interrupted. It's the one time where there's no other sports in North America really going on. Baseball hasn't started up yet. You got basketball, but basketball is struggling to keep their
seats filled too. Right?
Yeah. So
still doing better than hockey.
Right. It's arguable that the basketball has been dropping year over year, as hockey seems at least to be growing a little bit.
Well, and then that's the other thing with broadcasting rights. It sounds like that ESPN will be picking up the World Cup.
I did hear that, yeah.
So right. Is this going to be, you know, is this going to be the comeback for hockey now and trying to get back in with ESPN? Because I, as much as it pains me to say, I mean, they are the biggest sports in the U.S.
No, because it's going to be in September. What goes on in September?
The U.S. Open.
No.
I think it is.
Oh, it could be.
The tennis.
But I don't think that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about playoff pennant races.
Oh, baseball. For baseball. Beginning of the football
season. Beginning of the football season.
Yeah.
Hockey will be a... It probably will.
It'll
we'll
be show on, the replay at like on ESPN 6 at 11 p.m.
Exactly. Right.
And I mean, if you're looking at hockey that time of year, I mean, really, it's not seasoned hockey.
No,
that's I think one of the good things like about the Olympic hockey is that a lot of these professional guys have been in season for a while right. now.
They haven't been hitting the links.
So. Right. Well, they're in game shape. So I mean, you are truly seeing some of the greatest hockey there
right.
in the Olympics.
Well, and the I know the other thing is that the format for the Olympics is a little bit more fresh because it's not like a static set of teams.
Right.
You know, you get to see some players that we'll never see in North America.
Yep.
Whereas I think all the players that we're going to see in this World Cup are
It's all going to be NHL players.
With the exception of maybe the Russian team, which will maybe have KHL players.
Possibly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's.
So, okay. What about this? The countries that are all getting lumped into the European team. Are those countries getting hosed by just having to give up their players? Like, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I think in a certain degree they're getting hosed. I know Nino Niederreiter was one who expressed concern because he said, you know, he's like, we've got 11 or 12 NHLers, so we're like one of those cusp teams where we can put together, in a 16-team field, we can put together a team and be competitive.
Right.
But then on the flip side, you got someone like Vanek, who comes from Austria, and Austria doesn't have enough players.
Yeah.
So he's going to get to participate in a national or a worldwide international tournament,
right.
even though his home country doesn't have enough to put together a full squad.
I mean, I guess that could almost be said, too, for, say, Luongo coming from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many Italian players are there in the NHL? Oh,
there's tons. Formula One... hockey players.
Well,
right?
You know, they could always do it like the MLB does, the World Baseball Classic, and you know, if your heritage leads back there, you could play for that country's team.
True,
because there's an Italian baseball team in the World Baseball Classic. There ain't many players.
None of them are from Italy,
right?
And really, why do we need all this, anyways? Let's just play our damn NHL season.
Well, you know why? Because the NHL thinks they can. Squeeze some money out of that.
Squeeze some more money somewhere else. Sign another network contract with the ESPN or whoever.
You know, and also, hence the, you know, all the games are going to be held in Toronto. Because that was centralized, which maybe, I don't know. I don't understand how they get centralized from Toronto for all these teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I think that was Daly saying it, but...
It's due south of the North Pole.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's supposed to be in 2016, right?
Exactly.
So it's basically going to be the opposite bye year of the
Olympics.
Winter Olympics. Yeah.
I don't know. I really, really hope that this isn't the end of the hockey for the Olympics with professional players.
Maybe this is really the stadium series of international competition. NHL's like, you know, that Olympic hockey, that's really successful. Let's have another international competition.
We got to cash in on this. Yep. So, well, with that, let's get into the upcoming week here. The Wild, I think we mentioned this kind of before, but they've got a busy week coming up, four games. Three out of those four games will be at home. They're opening up against the Canucks here, and then they're traveling north for a one-game road trip to up to Winnipeg there. Take on our, I don't know, new quasi-rivals, you know?
Sure.
It's getting there. I mean, look, we're you know, right along in the standings there together. Definitely a win over Winnipeg would do us some good up there.
Right, right.
Yeah, we need to.
Yeah, and then they're coming back here, though, for the Battle of the Panthers and the Hurricanes. So hopefully that streaking continues in the positive direction for the Wild.
No doubt.
So, well, should we get into the game of the week?
Let's do it. So our last episode's game of the week was Wild at Oilers during that Western Canadiens swing.
Sweep would work too.
Yeah. And all of us picked the Wild, and the Wild did win.
Oh, yeah.
We were all off because it was the 5 total goals, and we were all, both Jive and I were a goal off. Kenny was 2. So, with that, me and Kenny are still in last with 7 points. Jive is still in first with 11.
Still in first, still running away with it.
Running away. The Wild have a bigger spread than we do. Granted, they're playing more than a game a week. True. So, but with that, I think Kenny picked the last game, so I'm going to pick this game. And I'm picking Wild at Jets as the game of the week.
That's a good game.
And it will be a good game.
The only road game.
The only road game, and it's against a team that's above us in the standings.
Yeah, it's a very meaningful game for the Wild.
Absolutely.
A must win, I'll have to go and put that on the board. Though they all are must wins, but
right, right. So with that, I'm picking the Wild to win 5 total goals. Even though the Jets are at home, I think with all the drama surrounding Evander Kane and Byfuglien throwing his tracksuit in the shower, you know, I think there's some, and plus they are struggling. I think they've only won 4 of the last 10 games, something like that. They're struggling right now.
We don't know how that feels.
You're right.
No, not at all.
So I'm going to go with the Wild winning. Kenny.
I'm going against the grain on this one, boys. I'm taking the Jets. I am taking the Jets, and I'm going with 3 goals. I this can't last forever as much as, you know, I like this almost honeymoon type period with the Wild on a winning streak. I don't foresee it happening after that road trip.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the Wild. I'm going to go with you, Aaron. I'm going to pick the Wild with 4 goals. I think it will probably be a low scoring affair.
Sure.
I'm thinking 2-1 with an empty netter at the end there for the
not
Wild.
Not a bad way to go.
Yeah.
No.
So I think it will be a good game. But I guess what I would have to say is I'm going to go ahead and throw this out on the table that I think the Wild are going to go ahead and move forward here. They got some positive forward motion going on. I'm thinking that they're going to maybe break their record win streak. What's their record win streak? 9 games, something
is,
like
is
that.
That? Wow.
I think it's 9.
I think it's 9 games.
So I guess
we're shooting for 10 game winning streak here. You heard it here first.
Okay.
I hope that happens. Oh, yeah. I just
what Wild fan wouldn't?
Exactly.
Well, hockey fans are special.
And you look at you know, the schedule, the Canucks, they're right around us, so I think they're beatable. The Jets are ahead of us, but I think they're struggling, and so I think they're beatable. Panthers are doing well, but they're right around the same spot we are. So, again, I think they're beatable. And the Hurricanes are last in the East, or last in their conference.
Very beatable.
Very beatable. So it's within the realm of possibility. Yep.
And then the next week, we're running our reverse order of
Western Canadian
Canadian sweep, right? We're coming back the other way, though.
Vancouver, so. Calgary, and then Edmonton, I believe.
All winnable games. I'm looking forward to this 10-game winning streak here.
The difference is that this is 4 games packed into 7 days. So
very true.
That's a lot of hockey, and
it is.
hopefully these first two games, Monday and Tuesday, aren't just grinders.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're going to have some players that are worn out. But, yeah. I think we've kind of we've exhausted this thing. So, you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, and that's at Three in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron3ITB. Lastly, blatant plug, band, Pinrot, my band, which you can find at pinrot.com. Kenny.
Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, mainly retweeting, you know, live audio, random stuff, what have you. Jive?
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Have a good night.
Later.
Hello.